What really is a valid baptism? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Tea Light.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Pete Allison, my pastor, for coming in.
Good to be here.
Appreciate you doing this. Pete is my pastor. He's also on the board of Key Life, and I'm especially nice to him. For two reasons. He sets my salary, and he also knows where the dirt is. And you never offend anybody that has that kind of power. So, Pete, I do appreciate your coming in. Hey, listen, we do love getting your questions, but you got to write them down. Don't use the 1-800 Key Life number. You can make orders there. Get a lot of neat free stuff as long as supplies last. And you can make your contribution, but you got to write the question down. Key Life. Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. In Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150. Cambridge, Ontario, N38593. And then you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you would like a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff person or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And we love to get your questions. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll answer some of these.
All right. Father, today we stop for a minute and remember that you are in charge, and you are our Father, and that you are our Savior, and that anything good that's in our life came from you. We thank you for, Lord, our people who love us and the people who care for us. We thank you for the gifts that we have. We thank you for all that we have. We are blessed people, and we are so rich. Lord, we thank you for the trials even that come into our life, that challenges that you use to shape us and mold us and develop us. Lord, help us to listen to you and what you're doing in our life. But it's good to be your sons and daughters, and we thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ. Lord, we look forward to worship. We look forward to meeting with your people and as a body this weekend. Exalting you and lifting up your praise and honor and glory. Lord, take us away from just looking at ourselves and help us to look at you and your grandeur and your beauty. And be with our leaders that they could stand strong and free as they teach your word. May they not care what we think, but may they give us the truth and give us it in a gracious way. Lord, we thank you for Steve and this ministry that you have given him. How unique it is and how it's touched our lives. So we pray that you would bless it continually and cause more and more people to come to know about Christ through Key Life. We commit our few minutes here on the air, working through these questions, and we give you praise and ask that you'd work in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pete from Pennsylvania, what is considered a real valid baptism?
Well, I think denominational affiliation would be the first thing that you see.
You know, there's nothing we can say on this that we're not going to offend some people.
Did you read the book years ago that InterVarsity published called The Waters That Divide?
Great book. I republished
it. Yeah. It made a profound impact on my life. This need not divide brothers and sisters. But it has down through the history of the church.
Oh, there are people become serial killers over the years.
So now you answer the question.
Well, I think there are two things. People say, what about mode? I don't care. You can hose them off if you want to. But water and the triune formula. Mm-hmm. I think those two things are legitimate, universal, without Christendom. There are paedo-baptists. What is that?
Infant baptism.
And they're sincere, and we're among those, sincere Bible believers who love Jesus, who believe that that is the New Testament initiatory sign, mm-hmm. just as circumcision was the Older Testament initiatory sign. Mm-hmm. There are people that believe in only believers' baptism, mm-hmm. That you got to know Jesus before you can be baptized. Mm-hmm. There are different modes. There's effusion.
And that is?
Pouring water on it. In fact, the earliest record that we have of baptism is pictures on the catacomb,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't show Jesus being dipped into the Jordan, but standing in the Jordan with John the Baptist pouring from a gourd water on Jesus.
Isn't that powerful? And
yes.
that's the first rendition, artistic rendition of that.
It really is.
The Jordan River was very, very shallow right there where John did baptism. So that may well have been how it was done.
And by the way, the Jordan River is very, very dirty, too.
Yeah, so don't bring the water home.
And you go to Israel, don't bring the water home and don't do it yourself.
I mean,
you get jungle rot or something.
We've both been given, as pastors, we've both been given water from the Jordan.
What do you do when you get it? Really?
Well,
be honest.
I do what you told me to do. Throw it out, fill it back up with fresh water. I mean,
So there are babies all over. I mean, adults now think they were baptized with water from the Jordan. It wasn't true. You got all that stuff up to blight, and you could see things wiggling around. But just on a baby's head.
Like, could you come back and they say, Pastor, you baptized my baby, he's got eczema.
But as you say, I love what you say. This is really not an issue that ought to divide.
But all three of the modes have biblical base. Effusion pouring, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. On us, the sprinkling, we've been sprinkled clean in the Old Testament. Presbyterians do that because of the imagery of the cleansing of the sprinkling priest in the Old Testament. And then immersion.
Which is a wonderful symbolism of rising up, buried with Christ, and risen with Him.
So they're all our symbols.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we make an effort not to be polemical. I have no idea what that means. I saw it in the dictionary on this board. It means argumentative. And we want to be a unifying effort in the body of Christ. Now, if you want to know our views, Pete and I both believe in the baptism of infants and in sprinkling.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't think, if you disagree, that you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny.
That's right. We don't think that in sprinkling regenerates the infant.
We do not believe in baptism or regeneration.
Right.
Okay, good. Tennessee, that's a good one for you. To whom should pastors be accountable within the church and the denomination?
In a Presbyterian mode, it's a good mode. We are not members of the local church. We are members of the presbytery, which is a local district of pastors and elders. And so we're really accountable on all three levels. We're accountable to the fellow elders in our local church and the presbytery, and then to our General Assembly, too, which is our national level.
You know what scares me sometimes? We get a lot of letters. We have pastors who aren't accountable to anybody.
Yeah.
I believe in a strong pastor, and that's one of the reasons I like you. You are. I mean, there's no doubt about where you stand. You do lead, and I believe in that. But, you've got a guy that's into power and manipulation and who isn't accountable to anybody about money or about church government. Boy, you got a dangerous situation.
You really got a loose cannon. I love our session there. We have some heated discussions sometimes. We disagree with each other, but we do love each other. And I think it's my job to be strong. I'm there more than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do believe in the plurality of elders, which means that there must be more than just one.
Yeah.
And I think that the senior pastor should be somebody who's leading the charge. A weak senior pastor usually doesn't help the church.
That's right.
But he's got to consciously submit himself, and there's times when that process takes a while.
Yeah, it really does.
But you're right. I think there's danger.
I think that danger is universal. We think it's beyond. I believe in a headship and the priesthood of the father in a family.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't give you a dime for a man who requires submission to himself who isn't submitting to somebody else.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, I feel so strongly about that I have real doubts when somebody is not under submission and consider they have this from God, and I don't care whether anybody's going to have doubt about God's working in their life.
I agree. Yeah, I love that. Was it Peninsula Bible Church out in California that when their interns first came to the church to do their internship, they handed them a toilet bowl scrubber and said, this is your job for the next month. And they literally, guys headed for the ministry, would literally do that.
Okay.
And then they would move them up into different areas of experience.
Was that Ray Stedman's church?
I believe it was. Yeah. Ray Stedman's church that did that. I have a lot of respect for him. He's with Jesus now.
I'm missing. Really good man. Okay, let's see. Will Christians be, this is from North Carolina, will Christians be persecuted in the end times? What is your position on the tribulation? Why don't you write us, listen guys, ask us a question like, did Jesus rise from the dead? Or is the Bible true? Or something that we can all agree on. Why do you do this? We're constantly in hot water, but we'll answer it. But not on this microphone. We're going to the next one. What do you think? Christians have been
persecuted. I think Christians have always been persecuted. They will always be persecuted until Jesus comes back. My view is that we're going to go through the tribulation and that it'll be cut short for the sake of the elect, Matthew 24.
Yeah.
Do you think Christians are going to go through it?
Yes, I do. But I also believe that there's going to be an increasing tribulatory experience that as we move toward that time,
mm-hmm.
as you stir up those forces that are against God.
Yeah.
Now, I think a part of the imagery and the reality of Armageddon is that there's this final battle when we go settle this thing. You know, you got the bully. And I remember I beat up a bully one time.
Wow.
I just thought of that.
A couple of weeks ago.
I'm proud of that, dude. You know what I mean? Well, this guy had been doing it. I was in grammar school, and he'd been messing with me for 2 years. And I just said, I'm going to get killed, but I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember waking up on top of him. Whoa! That's when I became a Christian, man. I thought I was going to get killed. I think he was going to wheel my bicycle too and stuff like that. But I think as things stir up, that there'll be increasing tribulation. We need to be aware of that. But I, with you, believe that we will probably go through the tribulation. Corey Ten Boom believes that.
Well, the final tribulation. There have been many tribulations down through the ages, I think. But there will be a final great tribulation.
That'd be really pretty scary.
That it is. And I think that we're seeing in America how hard it is sometimes to stand up for biblical truth and some of the basic values.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. Well, I'm in one of those never lands of not having gotten too much time to just sit around and chat, not enough to answer a question.
Well, we got to talk about the Trilateral Commission or something.
Well, no, let's talk about the supra-lapsarian.
Are you infra or supra?
I'm supra. How about the Grassfeld-Hausen documentary hypothesis?
It made a huge impact in my life. Not
right.
Once, and the parishioner asked me about it. However, you know, I did learn it and learned it well.
And don't ask. It's not important. Trust me on this. Listen, guys, check out our website. You'll find a lot of helpful daily stuff on our website. You can hear today's broadcast and the previous 30 archives. It's www.keylife.org. Pete, thanks for coming in.
All right, we'll see.
Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.